I'm John Bassworth. Professor Gary Bass, his book is Judgment at Tokyo, World War II on Trial and the Making of Modern Asia. The Chinese judge on the tribunal, born 1904, his name is Mei Ruo. He is extremely well-educated and a modernizer. He's a Stanford graduate. He's a University of Chicago law graduate. He's gifted. He becomes part of the transformation of the Qing dynasty to the national Sun Yat-sen in the early part of the century. And he keeps going through changes because so does his nation. He's chosen to be on this tribunal. He arrives. He's very successful on the court. He understands that it's his burden to explain the brutality that the Japanese visited upon his nation. At the same time, there's a civil war underway. Even then, he knows about it, and it will be his fate to be a man of two worlds. Professor, the Mei biography is moving because he's a man for all seasons. He's a man for the nationalists. He's a man for the courts in Tokyo. He's a man for the communists. After he becomes a part of the transformation of China, does he leave an autobiography that explains how to manage these different parts of his life?
So he's another extraordinary figure. And as you said, more than anybody else, he's the one who brings the suffering of Asian peoples to the center of the judgment. So rather than this just being, as MacArthur would have had it, you know, a quick trial for Pearl Harbor, Mei says we have to have a recognition of Japanese aggression and atrocities against Chinese and other Asian peoples. But at the same time, he's, you know, the country that he belongs to is going through this terrible civil war, and he, like a lot of Chinese intellectuals in the period, is swept up in the revolutionary fervor. When he signed on with the nationalists, that's a revolutionary party too. But he, at the end of the trial, is as Chiang Kai-shek's government is going into exile on Taiwan, which Taiwan is the Republic of China and the mainland is to be the People's Republic of China. He makes a decision. The nationalists say, come with us into exile. We'll make you justice minister. And he decides not to. He goes with the new revolution. He goes to the mainland. And we have some, he kept a diary and we have some of that, but only some of it. And that's pretty typical of the Cultural Revolution, that he would have most likely, like a lot of people, destroyed their diaries because that could be used as evidence that you were a counter-revolutionary, a bourgeois. And as you said, this guy is a, you know, American-educated, Stanford and Chicago-educated lawyer who used to work for Chiang Kai-shek. This is a guy who's in pretty big trouble in the People's Republic.
The modern version of this story is surprising. The now deceased Prime Minister of Japan, Abe, who was murdered for reasons not to do with this trial. He was murdered by a man. I don't have his motive, but it wasn't to do with this trial. Made a controversial visit to a shrine to the Japanese war dead and many of the Japanese war criminals. And that became a flashpoint between China and Japan. Why did Abe go there?
So Abe Shinzo, who, as you said, who is the longest serving modern Japanese prime minister, he has a family history with this. As you mentioned, he, like some other, like Prime Minister Koizumi, would pay visits to the Yasukuni Shrine in central Tokyo, which is a beautiful Shinto shrine that pays tribute to Japanese war dead. It's a Shinto shrine. It literally enshrines the souls of the dead as kami, as divine spirits. But since 1978, 14 Class A war criminals have been put onto the rolls of divine spirits at Yasukuni. And since then, no Japanese emperor has ever prayed there, although Emperor Hirohito, Emperor Hirohito went there lots of times during the war, but no Japanese emperor has gone since the enshrinement of those Class A war criminals, as well as a bunch of Class B and C war criminals. And Abe has a personal history with this, that his grandfather, a man named Kishi Nobusuke, was held for more than 3 years by the Americans as a suspected Class A war criminal. He was then released immediately after the hanging of Tojo and six other convicted Class A war criminals. Kishi is released and is never charged. He's held on suspicion, but is never actually indicted as a war criminal.
We have 1 minute, Professor. Go ahead.
He goes back into Japanese politics and eventually becomes foreign minister and then prime minister. And Abe inherits that resentment of the war crimes tribunal from his grandfather and puts out to a wider Japanese audience a sense that this trial was unjust, was unfair. So you have this paradox of present-day Japan where there are a lot of memories of the war that you can never imagine German politicians in the present day having, while Japan is still a model democracy and an extremely responsible international power.
The book is Judgment at Tokyo, World War II on Trial and the Making of Modern Asia. Professor Gary J. Bass is the author.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.